In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, laughter, and information, illuminating new life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with tonight's special guest, Nassim Haramein, renowned physicist, founder of the Resonance Project Foundation, and writer of the Unified Field Theory of Physics. And now, your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you, Mark. I'm so excited about today's show. We finally got to meet, and we're going to get to interview Nassim Haramein. Now, this man, a few years ago, a lot of people knew him, but not me. But now, just a few years later, so many more people know him. It's getting really, really exciting, and he's so hard to pin down. But he does tour throughout the world and does speak, so you all can get to hear him, and we'll talk about where you can hear him in just a little bit. You know, it's interesting because we're going to be talking about the theories that Nassim has come up with, and one of them is relativity, which is relating. And it was interesting as I was thinking about relating with the universe, how we relate to each other. It's like we can't even relate to each other, much less relate to the universe. And how does this all relate? It is so funny to me. And I was thinking how 2 weeks ago, I called this lady who's very near and dear to my heart. I love her very much. And I said something to her like, I'm going to be coming over and bringing you this, this, and this. And she said, I asked you, whenever you do things like that, to call me first, or to tell me, or to give me a heads up. And really quickly, the conversation went to her saying, I don't hear an apology from you saying that you didn't do what I asked you. And I, of course, in my very elegant way, said, I don't hear a thank you for you saying thank you for what I'm going to do for you. And quickly, it went even further down. And I don't do this with people. And so I'm thinking, I love this person. So I said to her, listen, have a beautiful day. We're not understanding each other. Let's just connect a little later. So just as I hung up, a friend of mine called me. He was a very dear friend as well. And I said, you know, I don't want to tell you who this is, but this is the situation that happened. And he says, is she a woman? And I said, yes. And he said, okay, well, the reason I'm asking that is because I've been married 20 years, and sometimes we men get upset when women don't tell us what they want. But it's funny, sometimes women do tell us what they want, and we still don't do it. And he says, that's worse. So he says, my suggestion is, if she asked you to do something, and it's that important to her, why didn't you? And if you didn't do it, and you know you didn't do it, why didn't you apologize? So I called up this lady, and I said, you know, evidently this is important to you. It's not important to me, so I didn't really think, but it's important to you, and you said it was, and I apologize. And it just changed the whole dynamic. And I thought, she needed to be heard, and I needed to hear her. So a couple days ago, I was with a friend of mine, and we were in the neighborhood, and this little girl came up to us and said, I'm learning how to ride my bicycle without training wheels. And my friend didn't hear what she said. And she said to the little girl, that's a beautiful shirt. And which was a nice thing to say. But the little girl kind of looked at her like, huh? And so then my friend said, I like the color of your bicycle. That's my favorite color. And the little girl says, okay. And she rode off. And I thought, how interesting. We don't really listen to each other. Saying it's a beautiful shirt is a really beautiful thing to say. But the little girl started off the conversation excited about the fact that she wasn't using training wheels. And that's what was important to her. And so if my friend had heard that, she didn't hear it, but if she had heard that and said, that's exciting, you're a big girl now, that dynamic would have been so different. So I thought, okay, the way we're relating to each other, not so good. So how are we going to relate to the universe when the universe is something we can't understand, much less understanding each other in our daily basis? But luckily, Nassim has come to this world to help us understand the universe and help us understand physics all of these things that we've never understood. I don't know, maybe you've understood them. I've never understood.
I don't think anybody completely understands them,
no,
but
I
am excited.
He does. So, and it's really exciting. I can't wait for when we come back right after this, we're going to have Nassim Haramein explaining to us what physics and the universe are all about.
Looking forward to it.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays water systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays water systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, we're back. And our guest today, at the age of 9, was developing the basis for a unified hyperdimensional theory of matter and energy, which he eventually called the holofractographic universe. Nassim Haramein, our guest today, has spent most of his life researching the fundamental geometry of hyperspace, studying a variety of fields from theoretical physics, cosmology, quantum mechanics, biology, and chemistry to anthropology and ancient civilizations. Combining this knowledge with a keen observation of the behavior of nature, he discovered a specific geometric array that he found to be fundamental to creation and the foundation for his unified theory, of which he is most famous for. That's how the theory emerged. Please help me welcome to the show, Nassim Haramein.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
It's great to finally connect with you.
Yes.
When I first saw a DVD of you about 3 or 4 years ago, I said, look at this man. He's young. He's charismatic. You were very clear in the way you describe things. You had long hair and you're handsome. I thought, how could it be? This man is just like me.
Maybe it's the Italian blood.
It's the Italian blood. Right.
Well, yeah, thank you for all those compliments.
I don't know if they were for you or for me, but in any event. No, but seriously, the interesting thing is that I've studied physics both in high school, in college, and at the university, and I can't say that I understood all of that. But in watching just a few minutes of your video of how you played with the theories and how you came to them, helped me understand it probably more in those few minutes than all the years. So how does a kid at 9 years old get interested in physics?
Well, actually, I didn't know it was physics. I was just interested in understanding the universe. To me, you know, that was the main thing. I mean, if I was going to be down here alive in this world, I had to understand how I got here and what this was all about. To me, that was the main thing. And, you know, that's why I was, you know, not so interested at school with all the rest of stuff that seemed pedantic to me. And, you know, I wanted to know the juicy stuff, like what is this, what is consciousness, how life works. So I was really kind of, you know, observing nature and trying to figure it out from really early on.
Now, obviously the teachers didn't have the answers. As a matter of fact, nobody had the answers.
Right. I realized that there was, you know, very little answers out there and many questions that were not addressed or not even posed, you know, and in that people just went through life seemingly not, you know, inquiring about what is life and how did I get here, you know. It's kind of strange to me, and it was strange when I was young. It's like, imagine, like, all of a sudden you were deported to another planet far away from here, and it was completely different. And when you arrived there, you didn't ask questions on how you got there. You just got into the flow and just went with it. To me, it was a little bit like that. It's like, wait, you know, how did we get here? What is this dimension we live in? What is this world? And how does it work? And why am I conscious in it?
That actually was my question. Why were you conscious in it? In the sense that, how did you... are you saying you came with this understanding that you weren't from here, or that something...
Not necessarily, but just that it seemed that, like, there was, like... Like this experience the capacity to question your existence, the capacity to be here, to like observe the world and wonder where it comes from, right, must be there for a reason. There must be an answer to that question. To me, that was like crucial to understand, and I just didn't understand why people weren't spending all their time, you know, trying to figure that out. To me, it was like, okay, let's start with that. If we've got that figured, then maybe the rest of the stuff is going to flow better, and maybe we'll get more harmonious with nature if we understand it better, if we understand ourselves better.
I'm with you. At 9 years old, I was thinking the same thing. I wish we knew each other back then.
Yeah. we could have wrote some nice physics together.
No, I wasn't thinking that, but here you were in your thought process. You found... Was it a ball that you started with saying, okay, it's right? What was it, the primary thing that said, okay, this is the first thing?
Well, when I was about 9 years old, I went to, at school, there was the first lesson in geometry. And that really kind of got me thinking, because the teacher taught about dimensions that day and went through the iteration of the point, the line, you know, the plane and the cube. Making our three dimensions, and to me there was some fundamental misunderstanding there, that axiom was not complete, meaning that he started with a point that has zero dimension and that he expressed as non-existent because it didn't enclose volume, and then he made a line out of those non-existent dots that still didn't enclose volume, and then he made a plane out of those out of four lines that still didn't enclose volume, and all of a sudden he made a cube out of those planes,
right,
that supposedly enclosed volume and was called the third dimension, and that one existed. But if the dot didn't exist, that made the line that doesn't exist, that made non-existing plane, I don't care if you slap 10,000 of them together, you're not going to get existence.
Nothing from nothing, it's nothing.
Right, so for me, it was like, there must be a solution to this, and it was really crucial that I understood how it works. And so that night I came home and I had this long bus ride, and I thought about it like really deeply during that time. And I came to a solution. It was kind of a vision, kind of, you know, visualization moment where I realized that, like, if I extruded myself from the bus and floated above the bus far enough, the bus would look like a dot. And then if I rose further, the city I was in would look like a dot. If I rose further, the Earth would start looking like a dot, you know? Wow. And then the galaxy or the solar system would start looking like a dot, and then the galaxy and so on. And then I flew back in and I opened my eyes and I thought, I wonder what my hand is made of. I knew at the time, I think, that it was made out of cells. So I closed my eyes and I visualized, and I thought that there would be millions and millions of cells. And then I flew onto the surface of one of the cells and looked really, really carefully, and it opened up into billions of little stars that are atoms. Wow. And then I flew into one of those, and I looked in the middle, and sure enough, there was a dot, you know, and I thought, wow, it's dots all the way down too. Right. So it's like the axiom needs to be reversed. It's the exact reverse concept, is that every dot contains all the information. You can divide it to infinity, the dot is the only thing that exists.
Wow. You know where I went with that when I first saw it in the video was that if everything outside of me is all these dots, and everything inside of me to infinity is all these dots, then I am the center of the universe.
That's right. That's right. In a fractal.
Thank you. Yes. Why does nobody believe me? I'm glad you believe.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing that's really important when you realize that is that you realize that everybody else is the center as well.
Oh.
Yeah. Otherwise, you could run into problems.
Our show for today.
Especially with your partner. It's really an amazing thing when you start to think of the universe as this fractal division of the structure of space itself. Then a whole new world and a whole new way of relating to nature and the universe as a whole opens up. Like you start to realize that you're part of this amazing will works of nature. And that, you know, that it is all embedded within each other, and that you can't isolate anything from everything else. When you look at something, you have to consider that thing in the context of everything else in the universe. You can't isolate it. And that's a big problem that we've been doing in physics for a long time, is we have a tendency to isolate systems. So, for instance, all of our laws of motion and thermodynamics and entropy and conservation laws start with this sentence, within a closed system.
Mm.
But if you look up in a physics dictionary, closed systems, you'll find that the first sentence in there will say, no such thing has ever been found, right? Because you can't isolate anything from all gravitational fields or electromagnetic fields and so on. So actually, you know, everything is interconnected in this really deep relationship. And this is the relationship I wanted to understand.
Mm. You know, actually, I don't know if this plays part of your theory, but if you're talking about something scientific like that, if we bring it back to us, both two centers of the universe here, mm-hmm. we're having a conversation right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
How are we, you're saying we're affecting so many other things.
Right. How are we connected and how are we affecting other things?
Right.
Well, the space between, this is one of the realization I found early on, is that the assumption that space is empty is probably incorrect, that space is not empty but actually completely full of energy, and it is actually what mediates all the information in the universe and is the source of the material world. That is, the space between me and you is not empty. The space between your atoms and your molecules is not empty. The space inside the atom is not empty, and the atom is 99.999999% space. So
wow.
Everything you see in this universe that you call the material world, including your body, is mostly space. And so I came to realize that maybe we had this reverse, that we thought of matter defining the space, but actually it's space that defines matter.
Oh, wow.
And if you start to look at it that way, like if you start to look at the space between you and me right now as being full and as exchanging information, and the fact that you're exchanging information with that space currently, that all the atoms in our bodies is giving information to the space, and the space is giving information back to the atom in this continuous feedback, you start to realize it's like the whole universe is a learning structure, learning about itself through the media of what we call space.
Wow, there's more space here than there is what looks like you and I.
That's right.
So could it be that the space is almost more important?
Right, it's the space that defines the structure instead of the other way around.
Wow.
And when you look in quantum theory, then when I was doing physics later on, I realized, wait a minute, we actually found that, but we put it in a closet almost 100 years ago. That is, that when we looked at the space inside the atom in quantum theory, in quantum field theory, we found that all the modes of oscillations add up, and there's infinite amount of oscillations of the space inside the atom. The structure of space-time in and inside and near the atom is fluctuated with almost infinite amount of energy. All right, so that means that space not only is not empty, but it's actually infinitely full of energy. which we renormalize with the Planck's, the Planck's units in order to cut off the number so we get a finite number. And even
so we could work with it.
Yeah, so we can work with it. But even when we get a finite number, the number is enormous. It's 10 to the 94 grams per centimeter cubed. It's a huge number. And it's more than if I took all the stars in the universe and stuck them into a centimeter cube of space. So it's not trivial.
Wow.
And we're swimming in this all the time. We're made out of that stuff. And when you start to realize that the material world is actually space in a knot, basically, an atom is a little vortex in the structure of space, then you start to realize you're interacting with a field, that everything is interacting with the field and it is in constant flux with that field. And you start to feel the connection between everything. You start to feel the connection between all your atoms and all the molecules and the cells in your body and how they communicate through that field. And it starts to explain a lot of things. I'm really excited, actually. I just completed equations just now that I'm going to publish in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I heard you saying earlier, like you were on a trip or something and things started to come to you.
Well, yeah, and I was like on the deadline to publish a paper. I've been asked to deliver an invited paper at a physics conference in Belgium. And I was solving these equations and it all came out, it all unraveled so beautifully. I can actually show now that every proton in every atom is entangled with all other protons in the universe. And I map this, the mass of this black hole proton to all the other protons in the universe, and then I map it back on its surface. So imagine I'm going from the surface, a beady point, billions of times smaller than the atom, like the proton, and then I map it, you know, to all the other protons in the universe, and then I come back and then look at the structure, the influence of all these other atoms in the universe on the surface of that proton, and I get almost exactly, like very, like three digit past the decimal accuracy on the mass of the proton. So it's like very remarkable. It's an amazing thing.
Wow. And this is amazing that you're sharing this with us. It hasn't even been published yet. You heard it here, folks.
Yes.
The very first time, this is exciting.
It is exciting. And it really is a whole new way of looking at the physics of the universe. And that is that when you measure a proton, when you measure a particle, when you're looking at an atom, you cannot assume that it is not entangled with the rest of the universe. Mm. You're making a measurement inside the universe, and the particle that you're measuring is connected to all the other particles in the universe.
Wow, so if those particles are connected and you prove it like that, then of course we're all connected.
That's right.
We're made up of those particles, and everything else is made up of those particles.
Exactly, and it's just a question of actually, you know, finding the doorway, you know, the entry point into that network. And if I was to say, how would we connect to that network that connects all the atoms in the universe, I would say you have to go inside. You have to turn your senses inward within yourself, because you're going towards the infinitely small, right? Which you contain. Right, it's almost impossible for you to experience the infinitely. Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So if we go in, we can experience the out because
it's connected. It's all entangled, and you know I can mathematically prove it now. It's remarkable using holographic theory on the surface of protons. I can show that all protons are entangled. And so it's remarkable, wow. Yeah.
You know, this feels like to me, when I was studying computer science and electrical engineering at UCSD, we were given sometimes a program or something, and then we'd have to figure out how that program was made, mm-hmm. and then we'd figure it out, and then we'd say, aha, now we can duplicate it.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like to me like you figured out how this universe is made.
Right. I mean, I think I figured out a portion of it and something fundamental about it, and that is remarkable in its simplicity, meaning that, like, It's a simple set of rules that produce a high level of complexity, but that at the base, and you see that in nature all the time, nature uses simple set of rules and then produces incredible complexity out of it. And that's what I was looking for, you know? It's a little bit like when we thought the sun, you know, that the Earth was in the middle of our solar system, geocentric solar system. You know, it started to look like a bad hair day because we start to look at all the other planets and the way they moved relative to us. And in order for us to be in the middle, we had all these planets doing all sorts of crazy little loopity loop and all this stuff to make it work. Right. And so then the model of our solar system was extremely complex. Most people didn't understand it and all this stuff. And then boom, all of a sudden we realized, whoa, the sun's in the middle. When you do that, all of a sudden it becomes really simple, and any 5-year-old can understand how the solar system works, right?
Maybe you're a 5-year-old, but
right, yeah, my little guy certainly. But
so you're basically trying to help people have a good hair day,
exactly, because physics shouldn't be a bad hair day, and that's a you know, direct analogy to string theory.
Is that in your book? How to have a good hair
maybe
day.
I should put it in there.
You know, actually there are so, and actually the word entanglement works with the hair.
Exactly
the theme of the hair.
Yeah,
so well, when we come back, I have so many more questions, but I want to make sure that we talk about all the things. I know you're going to be speaking in town and all that. We want to let everybody know about that, and I also want to know what we can do with this today, you know, between sacred geometry, like we talked to Jonathan Quinton, and, you know, things, what we can do today to change our world even just a little bit. And I know you have answers for that. How to have a good hair day with Nassim Hanavi right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, FILIPPO.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Well, we're back with Nassim Hanavi. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and this is Life Changes with Filippo, and I feel like my life is changing. And if you want your life to change, go check out Nassim's, after hearing this interview, check out Nassim's website, theresonanceproject.org. Theresonanceproject.org, you can learn more about him and the appearances that he has coming up in this city, but also in cities throughout the world. Nassim, how does it feel to know that you're getting this information, or you're figuring it out, or it's through you that the world is understanding something about itself?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you ask, because as I'm writing these physics and I'm discovering this stuff, at the same time, I'm realizing that there's not really a true me. It's like true all of us, because this connection is occurring. Like, you know, I mean, it was described as maybe the morphogenetic field, you know, by Childress and so on, that like we're all connected through this metrical structure of space and time, and that like it would not be possible for me to bring this forward if the level of consciousness and you know, the level of our society wasn't that place where it could come forward. And so I think that it's like all of us, and everybody's bringing their bit, everybody's bringing their piece, and my piece to bring is, you know, this piece about the physics, the basic physics of our universe. And I, you know, I want to say that there's always new discoveries, and you know, this is really just a little part, and then it's really a beginning, you know, a possibility, a new vector direction that we can take, that I think develop a picture of the universe that's more complete, and that has huge implication for people every day to understand that, to realize that, to experience that. They can experience the unified field in their own life, you know. When you look at like masters, for instance, that had, you know, when they describe their moment of illumination or their moment of realization or nirvana and so on, typically they describe the sensation of being one with everything. They describe the sensation of having all answers to any question, to all questions, and so on. I think, you know, it's accessible. Anybody, and all these masters, by the way, throughout the ages, said everybody can do that. You know, they said you can do it. Anybody can do it. Everybody has that link. And I think that's really crucial. I mean, we may be experiencing this life so we can find that link, so that we can experience that link, so that we can connect deeply with our ancestors, if you'd like, our source, you know. And that source has infinite potential. And so it's okay to think of ourselves as infinite beings. That is part of our existence. But even in the physical sense, and this is what I really want people to understand, this is so much, so important, so much, such a large part of my mission is to make people understand that, you know, the spiritual world is not something separated from the material world. That the material world is our doorway. The material world is the infinity. You know, that within the material world is this infinite potential. It's with the material world, not outside of it or in some other cloud, you know, floating somewhere, but it's actually within you, within the material existence that you have, that link is towards infinite potential.
Wow. Now, this is outside of science, and I wanted to stick to science, but here's a scientist talking about spirituality, and that the materialism, the science, is actually taking us to the doorway of that. So can it be said that there's nothing we have to do to be spiritual, we just are?
That's right. This is what I'm saying, is that by the mere fact that you are in the material world, you are, you know, connected to all things, and you are, you know, an expression of the universe, which you could say is an expression of spirit.
Wow.
And so one of the largest problems in our society today is that the spiritual people tend to think we don't need the material world, and the materialists, like the scientists, tend to think you don't need the spiritual world, you don't need consciousness. And the fact is that they are intimately related to each other, and actually that there is actually no difference, meaning that the material world is an expression of all information in the universe, and you could call that spirit.
Well, Nassim, I wouldn't have expected to ask you this, but then what about what's we call the negative energy, the people that are doing the bad things. Mm-hmm. That has to be in your equation somewhere.
Well, you know, when I look at the equation, I try to render philosophical concepts out of it. There's one thing that comes out very quickly about that idea of, negativity or what you could say is, you know, evil and so on. And that is that doesn't exist, meaning that there is just different levels of accuracy, different levels of awareness. And so some levels are more confused, some levels are more, have lower resolution, and some level have higher resolution. I'll give you an example. The math I'm writing uses holographic theory to describe the surface of event horizons of black holes, which I have applied to the atomic level. These mathematics of holography can be applied as well to a holographic plate, right, where a laser imprints on a photographic plate a set of information, could be an apple, and it's interfered with a second laser when the information is imprinted on the photographic plate. So you get an interference wave pattern on the plate. And after that, you can shoot a laser at the plate and an apple will appear in the 3D space, right? A hologram. Well, if you take that plate and you cut it in half and you shoot that laser at it again, you will get the apple again. And if you cut it in a quarter, you'll get the apple again. And if you cut it again and again and again, you'll still get the apple. However, every time you cut it into smaller and smaller and smaller bits, the apple gets fuzzier and fuzzier and fuzzier and fuzzier.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you're losing resolution. And so that's the way I like to think about what I call confused people. And, you know, when you think about it, no baby is born confused. You know, babies are born with 100% resolution. But when you look at our society, when you look at what children typically go through, even in the first 5 minutes of their birth, where in our birthing practice on this planet, you know, babies are pulled on of their mother within seconds. Their umbilical cord is cut while it's still pulsing. Then they're ripped away from their mother, put, you know, acid in their eyes, tubes up their nose. I mean, trauma occurs dramatically, very quickly. And when you consider what people go through, you know, in our society, in ghettos, and in areas where, you know, there's a lot of poverty, it's remarkable that there is not so much, mental illness and difficulties and people taking arms and shooting. You know, it's remarkable that it's fairly stable. But you start to understand that, like, basically, you know, the fractal structure, when we start to be disconnected from each other, when it's like we're cutting the fractal structure into smaller and smaller and smaller bits. We're getting further and further and further from the original blueprint, you know? So it gets fuzzier and fuzzier and fuzzier. And you know, I think that's the confusion that eventually can generate large, you know, difficulty in somebody's lives.
You know, this is fascinating. I'm trying to think. I think this is the very first time, except for the math that we use at the store or something, or to do our accounting at home, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is the very first time that to me, and an in-depth mathematical process describes our spiritual existence.
Right, and our consciousness.
Fascinating, our consciousness.
Yeah, which is really, it's really actually the part of the physics I'm writing, you know, I mean, writing equations it can be tedious and beautiful at the same time, because all of a sudden, you know, as you're writing these equations, all of a sudden there's moments you end up in dead end. There's plenty of those, but then there's moments where it just unravels and it's showing you such beauty. But what excites me the most is actually the philosophical application of what this is telling you, you know, and because I think that...
That's one of the things that I really liked about you in watching it, is you related it to us. Mm-hmm. It's not just about the universe.
Right. It's us, because we're inside that universe.
We are the universe.
That's right, and we're connected to it. And so if we're conscious, if there's self-awareness in us, and it's all connected holographically, then the universe has to be self-aware. And
that's what we're doing.
That's right. We're like an extension of the universe, like the universe extending itself, like creating fractal divisions with more and more and more and more complexity. All of nature and everything, for at the end, have this little being turn around and look back and say, how did I get here? And what is this? And who am I? You know, and then to realize that, wow, I am the universe looking at myself, you know, and then to realize the responsibility as well, that the sense of responsibility and awareness of, like, what are you feeding the universe? What are you telling the universe is?
What are you showing it?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And how is that relating, you know, to your day-to-day life and all this? And it's a challenge. I mean, it's a challenge for me when I'm, you know, in a traffic jam and somebody cuts me off, or you know, just a few minutes ago when I'm surfing and somebody runs into me, or, you know, to, like, stay calm and, you know. However, so you know, this is the great experience. This is the universe. And when you realize that, you realize, like, all of nature around you is all built by this amazing complexity to support your experience, that everything around you is, like, cheering you on, is, like, singing your prayers, you know. You look at all the animals, they have so much respect for humans.
Cheering you on.
Yeah, you can almost hear it sing, you know. I mean, when you're rendering all these equations that are, like, all, you know, harmonic equations and oscillations and all this, you start to hear the sound, the singing of the universe, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
It's telling you you're on the right track.
Right, well, you know, I think Pythagoras said it the best. It's the music of the spheres, you know, and... It really kind of start to make you feel that part of something awesome, something wonderful, and something profound, and so now you don't feel so isolated anymore, and you start to understand how it works. What is this mechanics? It's not some esoteric, even in concept of quantum theory, where all of a sudden particles can be waves and particles and all. When it gets that esoteric, usually it's because we haven't quite understood its mechanics. And most quantum physics people will tell you that, you know, we're missing chunks. And I think those chunks have to do with this holographic connectivity, this you know, entanglement of all the structure together. And when we put that in the equation, all of a sudden, it comes out beautifully.
Nassim, thank you for entangling with us today.
My pleasure.
This has been, I know it's only one of 1,000 interviews that we're going to do together.
Yes.
I can't wait. Infinite.
Yes. It's an amazing thing. We all learn together.
This is a beautiful thing. And I love how you said how we're all coming to these things each in our own way,
mm-hmm.
and our own place. So the fact that you're here makes me feel good about where we're all coming to in our own expression.
Right. You know, I think it's so important for people to feel that and to follow that, you know, that path, follow that joy, go to, you know, have the courage to go towards what makes them sing, you know, so that they can harmonize with nature and actually, you know, walk their dharma in this world, you know, because everybody has something amazing to contribute.
Well, I feel like you have contributed something amazing to us here But from everything that I know about you and what I've learned and what I can't wait to learn more about ourselves through you.
Thank you.
Nassim, thank you so much.
It's great.
A great expression of ourselves.
Thank you. It's great to have been with you.
This has been a pleasure. Well, when we come back, we're going to let you know where you can go hear Nassim here in town locally. And also we'll be back with Mark Leger and the Producer's Wrap right after this. So...
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, we're back after an amazing conversation with Nassim Haramein, and I actually want to make sure that you can go to hear not only Nassim, but remember our last week's guest, Jonathan Quinton. If you haven't heard that interview, you can go to lifechangesnetwork.com and hear the interview with Jonathan. And both Jonathan and Nassim will be speaking in Encinitas, in LA, in Joshua Tree, and several other locations. So check their websites and check theresonanceproject.org and sacredgeometry.com.au.
Well, there you have it.
Do you feel entangled?
I feel
untangled.
I thought I'd never say this, but I'm having a good hair day.
I like that. It's kind of like my hair is untangled, and I feel like I look good, and the math says it's okay.
The math says it all, and it's so exciting to have Nassim on today, but also to see when you follow his work, how much his work is now being recognized by the academic community, by the mass community, and I think in part a lot of what you were saying is because he makes it relatable in such a way that you take such a in one way complex, in one way beautifully simple, but yet makes it relatable and understandable to many people.
Right. We didn't have time for everything, but at one point he tried to explain these theories to his mother. And so I think that was part of the basis of him wanting people to understand, not just the other scientists, but his mother and his friends.
And that's part of the entanglement. I think it's so important when you get to the heart of the information and the practical application. I was thinking about some of what he was saying and maybe how a way that I seem to try to use some of that knowledge practically. If you look at your heart almost like a magnetic, electromagnetic harp. The instrument harp, right? And we're taught to believe that there's a cause and effect when we relate to people, which is separate, right? A cause and effect, a cause and a result.
Never thought of it that way.
How about a cause? The way I see it is that it's a cause and effect with an A that we are affecting. Therefore, it's one fluid motion. There's a relationship going back and forth. So if you pluck the angry string on that heart, harp, or heart, or you pluck the happy string, and whoever you are relating to, you have put that vibration across, and they are now in that vibration immediately, which creates a state that they are feeling and will work from. So, and people always wonder why comedians or certain, the class clown could get away with everything, right? It's because it's very difficult to get past that laughter and that happiness and that good feeling.
Because they took you someplace.
They took you there. The same way we don't recognize that if we take someone to a state, to an angry state, that's then where they are operating from, and that's where they're filtering all their decisions and their responses, and then their reactions or actions that put you, and it's this volley of energy back and forth. And if it's anger, you're going to stay in anger until somebody decides to convey something that is different than anger.
And I liked when he talked about anger or the negative, so to speak. He didn't use those words, but it was diffused or confused. Mm. You know, like the apple in the hologram. It's like every time you break that up,
right.
So the child that he's talking about is connecting with parents that are a little bit disconnected,
right.
And teachers who are a lot disconnected, and the information they're getting is disconnected.
Right.
So no wonder they're going to grow up to be like you.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding. No, that's terrible. Like me.
Like us.
Like us.
We are mirrors.
That's right. But seriously, right? I mean, us looking for that connection back to the original apple.
Right.
Not the Adam and Eve apple.
Right. But that center, the you know, and these are all labels. That's the thing. They're all labels that we're putting on to try to define the basis of this, which is just energy. It's different frequencies. It's different levels of energy. And that's what's neat about the way Nassim works and his discoveries is how much he plays with it and how much he describes it in such a playful way.
Right.
And so that is. It's a volleying of energy. It's,
he feels it.
You know, it's in these bubbles and the relationship of these bubbles and how they relate to each other. And that is a dance, you know.
It's music. It's so much like Life Changes in the sense that we have a desire to learn these experiences these understandings for ourselves, but not just for the sake of learning them for ourselves, but so that we can express them also to other people in a way that's understandable to other people.
Yeah.
So Nassim, I mean, the science that he delves into and lives in, breathes and dreams, is science that so few people understand,
right.
But him and maybe a handful of other people. But he goes there and then comes back and says, this is how it works.
Right. Just like this last equation that he's discovered or validated, you know, and now he can bring that information and that next step to the world. And that's what we do. It's not about being the expert per se, as it is us sharing our journeys and what we learn and, oh, well, that experience resulted in this and that versus the information we just learned tonight from the sim and how does it relate and we can serve that up.
Right. Well, actually, like our guest Jonathan last week and the sim, it's not elitist. It's not, well, we know this and we're going to teach you this, and if you want the knowledge, this is, you know, you have to get it from here. They both are also inviting us to find it within ourselves. Because basically they're saying, it's in there. It's in there. It comes from there.
Isn't that Italian?
You like ragu? It's in there. Absolutely. Now we're making a commercial for ragu. But the clever thing here, I just figured out, I should write my next theory, is that what Nassim is actually doing is he's implanting in us what he's discovering. The more we understand it, the more it comes back to him to understand, and we go deeper and deeper together. Because I get that he's understood that he's not in a vacuum, A, and that if he's the only one that understands this, then the information can only go so far. He can't even go deeper until everybody else comes around.
Part of the collective consciousness is almost limited by its own expansion in a way. And it brings to mind the Phi effect. You know, 1 + 1 actually equals 3 rather than 2. When you take two objects, two bits of information, and that creates a completely new object or bit of information. This is what you're saying.
Interesting, right. You know, I had this visual, and God, next time we talk to him, I know that I want to talk to him about this, but he has the universe where it comes into itself and then comes back or something and keeps going instead of like the universe expanding this way or contracting. It's like it's always contracting and expanding and expanding and expanding. All
very similar to the shape that we know, as we've seen in science class, the torus, where it comes in and there's the center and this field emerges and then comes back in and it's always feeding itself. What's interesting about this is it's present in all living systems. You know, you can see a torus around an apple, around a seed, around the human being, you know, around living systems. And so when you start to look at that type of an energetic formation and then how it relates, and then you start to relate each of those systems, and that doubles back to some of what Bruce, the biology of belief, was saying. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the cells, and that's why I was so excited to hear witness him and how he had discovered some of this and his visualization, seeing the cells. And because when you get into looking at one cell in our body, that system is as complete as our system as a whole.
As
and we don't
universe.
Look at it. And it relates and communicates with the cells next to it. And the difference is they don't judge each other.
Yeah.
And so when we can get to that place where we can just relate and not judge, I think we'll be all right.
That's interesting, which takes us back to the beginning of the show where we were talking about relating. Well, this should help us now relate with people, because when we are having those communications that are less than elegant, it's kind of like that fuzziness or confusedness that Nassim was talking about. It's kind of like that telephone conversation was a version of the apple all the way over here. And, I did well by just saying, you know, let's stop, because we're not connecting to the original
right.
hologram.
Right.
And then it was in finding answers of how can we get back to the original hologram? This person wants to be heard, and she just wants to understand to be heard. Now we're kind of bypassing all the broken pieces and going to the original piece and saying,
indeed.
This is it. Like a beautiful
indeed.
Work of art.
Yeah.
This is, if you take a picture of the art, right. and then take a picture of the picture, and take a picture of the picture, then you have this, it's like, yeah, that's nice. It's like,
But the reality is the masterpiece.
So Nassim is the,
There you have it.
So now he's got, I have to suggest these books to him, not only how to have a good hair day with this, you know what I mean, but how to get to the And with that, unfortunately, we've come to the on the end of our show.
Indeed. It's been another great show.
How do we say goodbye to all of this wonderfulness?
Goodbye to all this wonderfulness.
No, and actually on top of it, this is how beautiful this man is. And thanks to Jonathan Quinton, who's also here tonight with us, he set this all up. But Nassim is celebrating a vacation, a so long deserved vacation, although it doesn't seem like that brain ever vacations.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it ever goes off.
With his beautiful family, and yet he's invited us here to do the show with him and the interview, recognizing, I believe, a sense of what we're doing here and what we're putting out.
Entanglement. Indeed.
And there it is. Thank you for being entangled together with us, Nassim Haramein and his beautiful family, Jonathan Quinton, and Dorothy Donahue, our producer, Mark Bajur, our producer and co-host, and myself, Filippo Voltaggio, and our engineer, Seth Hendricks. Thank you for being part of this universe, part of this world, part of this show, and part of the beautiful changes we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.